So we continue in our series today. We wrap it up today. We've been talking about A Christmas for Everyone. We've been digging deep into Jesus' story through the book of Matthew. In the book of Matthew, the first few chapters, especially the first chapter, talks about the genealogy of Jesus. So if you came in today and you're like, okay, big tree, and you're looking at these ornaments and all this kind of thing, and you're like, okay, what's going on here? These are all ancestors of Jesus, and we've been looking each week at these ancestors of Jesus, and by learning their story, we begin to get a greater comprehension and a greater understanding of the depth and the scope of his story. And so we've been making this journey, and today we end our journey with Jesus. The book of Matthew and the genealogy is just like none other. The story that it tells is incredible. And Matthew's genealogy in the first chapter, if you were to open your Bibles right now and you're going to the first chapter of Matthew, and you were to start at verse 1 and try to make your way to verse 17, it would be a hard undertaking because it is really difficult to get through a genealogy. Matthew starts off the birth, the story of Jesus Christ, with the genealogy. And that's totally opposite from Luke, because Luke starts the birth of Jesus with a pageant. If you go to the book of Luke and you start to read the first and second chapters, Luke's is a pageant. It has gospel, it has song in it, like we've had this morning. It has dance in it, like we've had this morning. I mean, Luke's telling of Jesus' birth is just beautiful. It's poetic. It's artistic. It tells and it paints a great canvas, as we saw earlier, that painting of a canvas. Luke paints a wonderful picture of Jesus' birth. So given those two gospel accounts and how they're different from one another, Matthew would look at us this morning and would say, thank you so much for traveling with me. Thank you so much for studying the story that I laid out for you. Thank you so much for doing that for all these past 3 weeks. But Matthew would look at us and say, but please, for today, for celebration purposes, so that you get the artistic nature for the wonderful proclamation of Jesus' story, even Matthew, the gospel writer, would look at us and say, go to Luke. Go to Luke. I've enjoyed my time with you, but start with Luke and enjoy the beautiful story that I've been telling you about, because even Matthew would say, Luke tells it so much better than me. So I invite you at this time, if you will, to open your Bibles to the book of Luke. We'll start at chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And about that time, Caesar Augustus ordered a census to be taken throughout the empire. And this was the first census when Quirinius was governor of Syria. Everyone had to travel his own ancestral hometown to be accounted for. So Joseph went from the Galilean town of Nazareth up to Bethlehem in Judah, David's town, for the census. As a descendant of David, he had to go there. He went with Mary, his fiancée, who was pregnant. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to a son, her firstborn. This firstborn son, he's spoken of in the period of the beginnings in Genesis chapter 3:15. He is spoken of. The Savior of all men is spoken of Genesis chapter 22 and Genesis chapter 49. That's the patriarchal period, the ancient period of the Holy Fathers. The prophet who should be listened to is spoken of in Deuteronomy chapter 18, 15, the theocratic period. The monarchical period speaks of a Redeemer who will come, of a Savior who will come. In 586 BC, Israel finds itself captive in foreign lands in the period of foreign rule, and they cry out for a liberator. In 166 BC, the Maccabean period, it's a silent period of agony, and the yearning for a Savior is just deafening. And finally, it's the Roman period. And it's 4 BC and a son has been born. We continue with Luke and the story he tells. Chapter 2, verse 7. She wrapped him in a blanket and laid him in a manger because there was no room in the inn. See, Micah 5:2 spoke of this in the Old Testament. He said the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. Isaiah the prophet spoke of this in chapter 7, verse 14. He said the Messiah would be born of a Virgin Mary. All the way back to Genesis chapter 49:10, it said the Messiah would come from the tribe of Judah. Samuel the prophet said, the Messiah would be the heir to King David's throne. Here the prophets, for years, over periods of time, had spoken of the Messiah's coming. They'd drawn it out, they'd said it, it was clear, he was coming. Everything was there. He'd be coming to Bethlehem. The prophets had imagined nothing but room for the Messiah. The prophets had imagined nothing but acceptance, nothing but space for this coming Savior, for this liberator. The prophets for all these years had said, and when he comes, he will reign and there will be room. But the prophets would have never, ever foreseen that on this holy night, this long prophesied night, this long yearned for night, they would have never foreseen that an innkeeper would answer a door and tell the parents of the Messiah, there's no room. How their hearts, the prophets, how Israel's hearts, upon hearing those words, must have crumbled. How they must have just been totally devastated by the words spoken to the Messiah's parents. There's no room. Joseph would have said to him, are you kidding me? No room. We made the journey. No room. Do you know who I am? Joseph surely would have looked at the innkeeper and said, I'm from the tribe of Judah. I am David. My tribe comes from the line of King David. I am of the bloodline of David. No room for me. And the innkeeper would have said, no room. And Joseph would have said, and what about her? She's my wife. She's Mary. This child was conceived unto her as a virgin. Do you understand what that means? And the innkeeper would have said, no room. And surely Joseph would have had to look up to the skies and he would have said, are you kidding me? This is the child that we have been waiting for thousands of years and no room for him? Surely Joseph would have had to look at the innkeeper and he would have said, do you know nothing? Father, tribe of Judah, mother, virgin, now pregnant with child, and we're here in Bethlehem. And the innkeeper would have said, no room. Luke's story continues. Verse 8. There were sheep herders camping in the neighborhood. They had set night watches over the sheep. And suddenly God's angel stood among them and God's glory blazed around them and they were terrified. And the angel said, don't be afraid. I'm here to announce a great and joyful event that is meant for everybody worldwide. A Savior has just been born in David's town. A Savior who is Messiah and Master. And this is what you're to look for. A baby wrapped in a blanket and lying in a manger. And at once the angel was joined by huge angelic choirs singing God's praises. Glory to God in the heavenly heights. Peace to all men and women on earth who please him. And as the angel choir withdrew into heaven, the sheep herders talked it over Let's go over to Bethlehem as fast as we can and see for ourselves what God has revealed to us. They left running and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. Seeing was believing. And the shepherds, opposite to the innkeeper, the shepherds are the ones who enter Jesus' story. The shepherds are the ones who say, "Are you kidding me? The Messiah has been born. We're going. There is room in our hearts for him. There is space in this world for him. And we are going to find him. We are going to celebrate him." The shepherds' names come into Jesus' story as those who were thrilled and overwhelmed, as those who received Jesus Christ as the Messiah and the Savior. And their names are now in his story. Their names are now in his family tree, just as Judah and Tamar, just as Rahab, just as David. And so Jesus says to us this morning, "Your name too. Come run to me, come receive me, come proclaim me as Jesus Christ, as Savior, as Messiah. Your names too should be in my story, because truly you are the ones who celebrate my coming, just as the shepherds, just as the shepherds on that night ran to Bethlehem to see Jesus. So this morning you woke up and you got dressed and you got in a car and you sped to church so that you could celebrate and welcome Jesus into this world." And so this morning in your bulletin, there's a little sticky note right there. If you open it up, there's a sticky note. In your friendship pad, if you have one at the aisle, there's a pin in that pad. And we did this a few weeks ago, but we're going to do it again. And we want everybody to have their name in Jesus' story. Your name will be in his tree. And so this morning, what I'd like you to do is just to take your name, take a pen, and sign your name on that sticky note. As you sign your name on that sticky note, we're going to ask you to bring those forward. And those will be received. And as they're received, your name will go on Jesus' family tree. Because you too, like the shepherds, have come to celebrate his arrival. So at this time, as you sign your sticky notes, you can bring them forward to the stage and they'll be received. And your name will be placed on Jesus' tree. And as you go, you'll also be handed a candle to take back with you. It's exciting to make history. To be at the first 9:30 Christmas Eve service with all that energy is exciting to be a part of history, for sure. We continue our story in the book of Luke. And verse 18. They told everyone they met what the angels had said about this child. And all who heard the sheepherders were impressed. Mary kept all these things to herself, holding them dear deep within herself. The sheepherders returned and let loose, glorifying and praising God for everything they had heard and seen. It turned out exactly the way they had been told. Like the sheepherders, may we never, ever, ever lose the sense of glory and wonder. May we never, ever become so complacent with this story that it just doesn't amaze us, that it doesn't just stir our hearts, that it doesn't just set us free, that we don't understand that the Messiah has come, that God's own Son has been given to us. And just like the sheep herders who went away praising and glorifying God, may we truly understand that this story is the most told story in history. No story is celebrated more worldwide than this story. This is the only story in the world that can be proclaimed in 2,000 languages. It's the only story that people have gone to great lengths to translate this story so that it can be spoken in every possible tongue. That this Christmas, more people of more languages and nationalities and across this world will celebrate and will proclaim the story that we have just heard. This truly is amazing. And truly, We should be like the sheep herders, overwhelmed and wanting nothing more than just to glorify God for this great gift he's given to us, Jesus Christ. And so, as we began the service, symbolic of his light coming into our world, so now we will symbolically transfer his light throughout his light, the light of our hearts. You know, this morning we're going to pass this light, the Christ light, we're going to pass it from the front to the back. And as we do, that story of light traveling, that story of light making its way throughout all the epochs of history, may we be reminded that his light started all the way in Genesis. And each row back today represents his light traveling through history. And may we envision his light traveling with us through those curtains back there and through those front doors. And because of us being his light bearers, may his light continue to make its way throughout future generations. Because we were the ones who said we will glorify, we will praise him, and we will share his story. So at this time, let's share his light. And so when baby Jesus was no longer baby Jesus, but when baby Jesus was man, he said in John chapter 8, verse 12, he said, I am the light of the world, and whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. We no longer walk in darkness, for he is our light. Amen? Amen. And so this morning, to conclude our Christmas celebration here at Shine, the band wishes you a Merry Christmas.